Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into The Early Line. We are live right here on a Tuesday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, and joining me here on Sports Grid, as always, Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how are you?
Yep, let's go. Rested and ready. You know what today is, Kevin. It's a Tuesday, which means it's Dinger Tuesday here at the FanDuel Sportsbook. There is a lot of pressure on these two hosts today to come up big with a Dinger-approved play tonight. I'm going to be ready for it, and as Kevin would like you to know as well, not going to put that much time into it, which means we're going to hit that seventh in a row, Kevin. I'm ready for it today.
That's right. Minimal research, maximum profits. It is a stack show today. We're going to do some more Big Ten win totals, NFL team previews begin, but it all starts with our 7-7 top headlines. We'll go over to the world of Major League Baseball. Gerrit Cole returns from a COVID absent, and he looked just fine. 5 2/3 innings, only allowed one earned run and struck out 9 batters, which I know helps some folks on a FanDuel odds boost. And the Yanks win that game, a makeup game against the Angels with a final score of 2-1.
Needed it. 2-1 here. And you started off the game in the top of the first inning, gave up a solo home run, didn't give up any more runs after that. 3 hits total here for the Angels, but also from a Yankees perspective, still struggling with runners in scoring position, needing to tack on runs, but the bullpen did the job tonight as well as your starting pitcher, Gerrit Cole. And yes, the FanDuel Sportsbook odds boost cashed in. Needed at least 7 strikeouts here from Gerrit Cole and a Yankees win. Got both of those. The only trouble in this game that you were looking for is how long did you think Gerrit Cole was going to go in this game? Coming off of that COVID IL list, was fine in this game. 5 2/3, 90 pitches, did exactly what you wanted to see out of an ace. And as a Yankee fan or Yankee backer looking towards the playoffs, that's what you need out of your ace, so you can have some good vibes moving forward.
Also, Joey Gallo swinging a hot bat. Could it be? Looks like it. The other New York team, not as good. A lot of runs in this game, as Donnie told you yesterday, very well could be the case, but a 7-5 final sees the Giants put another one in the win column, powered by a couple of Chris Bryant home runs.
Yeah, you're just trying to tread water at this point now if you're the New York Mets, right? You're saying, man, we got to take some of these games against the elite competition out there in the NL West. It seems like a stacked schedule, but you are going to have to win. If you get that many runs last night out in San Francisco, you need to win that ball game. But San Francisco stays hot. The Dodgers stay hot. The Padres may be cooling off here, looking more towards a wild card. That's going to be an interesting race here out west. And, hey, the Giants aren't giving up, Kevin. Midway now through August, still in first place and still have a nice little lead.
Also yesterday, some history in Major League Baseball, but for all the wrong reasons. For the first time ever, we have our 6th losing streak of 12 games or more. Come on down, Chicago Cubs. Boy. Selling certainly worked here. They lose to the Cincinnati Reds 14-5.
Tanking in 2021 in a big market city for the Chicago Cubs here, which is very interesting, Kevin, because also coming out last night as the Cubs were losing their 12th in a row, hey, let's celebrate this season for the Cubs and put them in the Field of Dreams game next year out there in Iowa. So, hey, maybe it's going to cheer up the Cubs. Maybe they can get off this losing streak at this point. Mm-hmm. But there is no end in sight, it seems like, Kevin, with that lineup that Chicago Cubs run out there each and every night.
They announced that it's going to be Cubs-Reds next year at the Field of Dream game. And Donnie and I, last night on radio, did about 10 straight minutes with just nothing but better ideas and better games that they could have played
don't worry, the Cubs will go out there with their probably like 30 games below 500 at the time. We'll bring the radio audience into the fold. Appreciate everybody that is tuning into the Early Line on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204, the Mightier 1090, all of their our radio affiliates out there. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with you on a Tuesday morning. How about in the college football world? Alabama, number one. Again, sitting atop the AP Top 25 poll that was freshly released. One interesting note, Don, we had five different programs come away with a number one overall vote.
Yeah, beat writers getting their favorite teams in there, right? Hey, everybody throw it over to Alabama. Now, wait a second. Some ACC beat reporters think, you know, Clemson could do it, or, you know, Oklahoma out in the Big 12, Ohio State, Georgia. It's a nice little compact top five, top six. We're going to have a good college football season. Don't be angry out here and say, huh, same thing, Kevin. Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State. That's exactly what we want. We want good football down the stretch in the college football playoff. If you ask me today, just looking at the AP Top 25, if you gave me Alabama, Oklahoma, Clemson, and Ohio State for the championship, sign me up, Kevin, right here in August.
No Notre Dame in there? What do you... I understand. Now, speaking of Ohio State... C.J. Stroud, currently the fifth choice on the FanDuel Sportsbook to win the Heisman. Apparently, Donnie, separating himself from the pack as it pertains to that OSU quarterback battle.
Yeah, a lot of unknowns here with Ohio State. You got to cover up for Justin Fields, who is dynamic in college football. He's no longer there. Somebody has to step up, but it just seems like a plug-and-play offense. And boy, if you're a quarterback, Kevin, at Ohio State, and say, hey, I really need some help, go check out those wide receivers that are going to give you some help this year in 2021. College football fast approaching. Ohio State again, top four team in the AP, expected to do big things even with a new quarterback.
Couple of NBA updates for us here. The Celtics extend Marcus Smart, a $77 million extension over four seasons for Marcus Smart, keeping him in Boston.
Yeah, good signing there by the Celtics here, just trying to keep up with the Joneses, as we like to say, in the NBA Eastern Conference. Still waiting also, Kevin, for another Eastern Conference team to possibly make a move, the Philadelphia 76ers. But everybody seems like they're in lockstep, and the East got much better in the offseason, Kevin.
And some more Celtics news. Tonight, they will play against the Sacramento Kings in the NBA Summer League Championship. It is the final slate of NBA Summer League action. Almost everybody will be involved here, so a lot of good stuff closing it out there in Vegas. But next year, on the Early Line, we preview what was a really interesting slate of Major League Baseball action.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line, some Major League Baseball action to recap. Now, the way the show's kind of worked out today, there's not really any hot or not, so I don't get to badger Donnie with who's going to win the World Series questions. What I can do, though, is ask him about Gerrit Cole to win the AL Cy Young, because we know that his odds shifted back due to the extended absence there. Lance Lynn on the odds board has created a pretty comfortable gap right now at minus 220. Gerrit Cole, though, is plus 260. And at the end of the day, Donnie, no rust for Cole last night. Maybe he didn't go as long as you would typically expect, but still 5 2/3, one earned run, two hits, one walk, and nine strikeouts is a banner day for the Yanks ace.
Yes, and it certainly was. The Angels, known to strike out, particularly against right-handed pitching. They come into the Bronx. That's exactly what they did. You had that one mistake pitch in the first inning, which upped and hit out to left field at Yankee Stadium. And after that, the pitching staff was pretty much flawless throughout the game. As we said, only giving up three runs. But there could be some, added incentive here. And, looking at Gerrit Cole at plus 260, you like to see what some of these races turn out to be, because if you look at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, it's Lance Lynn number one and Carlos Rodon number three. That means the Chicago White Sox have two pitchers in there. Maybe they trade off some votes, but also more importantly is the narrative, Kevin, that we'd like to take a look at in the Cy Young market. Let's just say the Yankees aren't in playoff position yet. Oh yeah, missing about 2 weeks there, Gerrit Cole comes back, looks sensational. What happens for the rest of August? He looks great. And all throughout September, and the Yankees make the playoffs, where the old story is, hey, Chicago White Sox are a really good baseball team, but we weren't watching them, so to speak, day to day, Kevin, throughout the summer, because they already had the division basically wrapped up along with the playoffs. It's an interesting spot for Gerrit Cole sitting at plus 260 now. If he pitches well, the Yankees make the playoffs. There's value there.
It'll be interesting to see what is the most valuable thing to those voting for the Cy Young, because just through a couple of numbers, Lance Lynn certainly has a lead in ERA, pitching to a 2.26. Cole right now at a 3.04. Cole, with one extra win, leads the American League in strikeouts with a considerable gap there. Wins above replacement, a 0.1 lead for Gerrit Cole over Lance Lynn. It's just one of those funny things. Like, you look through it, it is interesting that Robbie Ray is not really talked about in this market, because he's right next to the other two, with Rodon, though, actually being your third choice at plus 750. Looking elsewhere through the results, we might as well talk about Lance Lynn's Chicago White Sox, because they are playing a very big series against the Oakland Athletics. Again, we've talked about it. It's seemingly that this Oakland team never losing, dropping a series surprisingly to the Texas Rangers, and now a lot on their plate against the White Sox. And the one thing I think, Donnie, we saw last night is when that team can hand a lead over to their bullpen, it feels like more often than not, they're going to close it out.
Recipe for success, exactly what the Chicago White Sox have. A lineup that can go yard at any time, explosive hitters all the way throughout, and dominating bullpen, particularly on the back end of it, and you're getting very, very good starting pitching. Hey, like we just talked about in the Cy Young, two of the top three guys in the AL are on the Chicago White Sox. That's amazing. And you have two of the more dominant closers on the back end here. Coming into the game yesterday, I did say I thought Oakland was the better play here. I thought they had the better pitcher on the mound. But when you get that veteran presence in Dallas Keuchel in a playoff type of game, he pitched fairly well. Exactly what you wanted out of him, Kevin, here. Five innings, two earned runs, two strikeouts, two walks. They were actually down 2-0 in this game. You know, didn't fret. Scored one in the third, one in the fourth, one in the fifth, one in the sixth to tack on and add on to that lead with one more run in the eighth to make it 5-2. Stays under the total. That's a nice win for the White Sox, because the Oakland Athletics, to me, need the wins right now more than the White Sox do. That doesn't mean the White Sox just going to roll over. Nice win at home for them, 5-2 over the Oakland Athletics, when I thought the Athletics were the better side yesterday.
I want to bring up the Cubs losing their 12th straight game, but from the historical context that we had mentioned in the top headlines here. It's the first season in history with six losing streaks of 12 games or more. The last time there was a season when there was five or more losing streaks was 1927. The Orioles, the Cubs, the Rangers, the Diamondbacks, the Orioles again, and the Diamondbacks again. Is there something about this season, Donnie? Is there something about the way that we're playing Major League Baseball that could lend itself to such long stretches of horrible baseball? Or is this just a coincidence that just happened to pop up this year?
A little bit of a coincidence, Kevin, because even the worst baseball teams still are supposedly supposed to be winning one out of every three or one out of every four games. It's pretty hard in Major League Baseball to lose 12 games in a row. I mean, look, if you're playing the Dodgers and the Giants every night, it's still hard to lose 12 in a row because it's a baseball game. One team gets hot at the plate, one team is not. That winning streak is over, or that losing streak, we should say, is over. But there is a little bit of a caveat here, Kevin, because it seems more and more in sports, the haves and the have-nots. And the Cubs are supposed to be a have, but now have turned themselves into a have-not. So in the organizational decisions that go down here at the trade deadline that basically say, we're trading our young guys away, or we're trading our veterans away to play more of the younger guys, that's a signal to the entire organization that we're not trying to win. And what benefits, quite honestly, Kevin, do the Chicago Cubs have? When they raise the white flag midseason, the best way to end the season is just get destroyed in August and September to improve your draft position and maybe get a book on some of these young pitchers or young players to watch them play out. Is there anything that says momentum from the Chicago Cubs, if they got hot and just missed the playoffs after selling off, is a good thing for 2022? Probably not. You're looking at reevaluating your organization, where you're going to spend your money in the offseason, and, oh, yeah, getting the highest draft pick possible. I think a lot of that plays into it, Kevin.
I also think when you look at that list, though, this isn't six different teams. Four of these losing streaks belong to two teams, the Orioles and the Diamondbacks. And you have two teams that are at the bottom of two very, very good divisions. Like the Baltimore Orioles gap between them and the fourth best team in the American League East is unbelievable. And the Diamondbacks obviously have three likely playoff teams in the Dodgers, the Padres, and the Giants in front of them. But also, if they go to Colorado, they're dead in the water because the Rockies are one of the best home teams in all of baseball this year. And the other thing that does stand out for those two teams specifically, if you just look at runs allowed on the season, the third most runs allowed is the Minnesota Twins at 624. The Diamondbacks are 670 and the Orioles at 683. You guys maybe wonder why you'll catch Donnie licking his chops at a Baltimore, or, you know, they throw Keegan Aiken out there and it's the third inning and you're able to cash win team totals just based on those pitching matchups alone. I do want to quickly pull one more game up here, though, Donnie, on what we just talked about. The Rockies at home, they do it again, but the Padres lose again. The San Diego team right now, Donnie, just not putting the results up in the appropriate column. They hold a 1.5 game lead, and it is only a 2-game lead in the loss column over a St. Louis Cardinals right now. Like the San Diego Padres, Donnie, they look vulnerable.
No, they certainly do look vulnerable here, and you're looking at a game out in Colorado, which you should be able to win, but they sort of pull a rabbit out of a hat in the top of the ninth inning, get three runs, and then give it up in the bottom of the ninth inning, because coming into that game, we thought, hey, maybe Colorado can hit around Weathers, which they did, five runs after three innings, but you figured the better bullpen would prevail here for the San Diego Padres, which they did have a decent performance all the way up until the bottom of the ninth inning, giving up that solo shot. When you take a look at the lineup also, you know, there's a lot of star power in the San Diego Padres lineup, so I think that we're equating it, and I do this myself, say, hey, look, they're still up in the wild card division. They do still play the Giants and the Dodgers. Maybe they can pick up some games there, but you're anticipating a much better pitching performance than what you're getting nightly from the San Diego Padres. Because if you go into Colorado, Tatis goes 1-for-4, Frazier 1-for-4, Machado 2-for-4, Cronenworth 2-for-3. That's your first four guys. You say, boy, we're going to put up a lot of runs here. Five runs typically in a normal ballpark should be enough, but not in Colorado. You have to keep scoring. And also, Kevin, you can't just get down 5-1 after three innings and expect to dig yourself out of the grave here, particularly in Colorado, which, as you stated, one of the better home teams in Major League Baseball. They hit it home. They won again.
Also, I want to just quickly bring up before we hit the break, the Mets now sit bang 500. Another game tonight in San Francisco. The last time that team was under 500, I do believe, was May 5th. That is a long, long time of playing above 500 baseball. I know the Phillies are playing better. I know the Braves are playing better. But the Mets right now have a lot of issues that they're struggling to correct. We come on back, AP Top.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the Early Line. We've got some great college football discussions to take place here. We'll get back to our Big Ten win totals in just a moment, but we just got the AP Top 25 fresh off the presses here. Alabama leads it at that number one spot. Oklahoma at second, which is interesting. Clemson 3, Ohio State 4. Clemson's week one opponent, Georgia, rounds out the top five. Donnie, when you look at this AP Top 25 sorted towards the top, does anything jump out to you?
Nothing really jumps out all the way up top here, Kevin. Alabama U's is going to get the nod here for being number one, and rightfully so. Oklahoma at number two, maybe a little eye-opening here because I think maybe Clemson should have deserved that second overall spot. But again, you're taking a look at, you know, first place votes here, 6-6 between the Oklahoma Sooners and the Clemson Tigers. Ohio State 4 makes a lot of sense, but also keep in mind, Ohio State reloading on offense, as we already talked about C.J. Stroud, a freshman trying to take over for Justin Fields to keep them in the hunt, but I think they'll be buoyed by a nice schedule playing in the Big Ten, not playing in the SEC, or even, you know, taking on a Clemson in the ACC at this point, which again, same thing with Clemson, but also How about this one, Kevin? Feels like one of those, you know, all right, Georgia, you can make the playoff if you win the first game, run the table, and get bounced in the SEC title game like usual. And it's going to be hard to say, how are we going to leave Georgia out? Because, yes, they beat Clemson, ran the table in the SEC, but just couldn't match up against an Alabama squad. That's how I look at it right now. Like, it's almost like if they win that game, Kevin, they move into the college football playoff picture after 1 week.
So that, to me, is the most interesting thing with that top five, is that you have two of them playing one another to open the season. And it's not just interesting to your point, hey, do we move Georgia up to two? Oh, does Clemson become the number one if they win the game? It's how far the other direction do we go? If Clemson wins that game as they're favored to do, Donnie, A&M, Iowa State, Cincinnati, Notre, how far down does Georgia drop for losing to Clemson on a neutral field? Now, I know the caveat of, well, it depends by how much. If they lose by a touchdown, not much. If they lose by three touchdowns, a ton. I understand all of that. Let's just keep it maybe within the margin, say they lose a, you know, touchdown football game here. Is Georgia still going to comfortably hold on to a top 10 spot?
I do. I think Georgia will stay in the top 10 if they do lose to Clemson. Now, as they slide back, let's just say they do, Kevin. They slide back to, I don't know, 10. Everybody else gets a bump up. The one other interesting thing that I'm looking at in the top 10 is it almost seems like the committee, the AP 20 or the AP 25 and also the coaches poll saying, you know what? If Cincinnati can get hot, because you're looking at Cincinnati in the coaches poll at 10, but eighth in the AP, if they run the table, there's a good chance that Iowa State is going to lose this year. There's a good chance that A&M is going to lose this year. Georgia is going to lose this year. So they're going to be knocking on that door if anybody else slips up in that top part of the competition. You're also taking a look at, Kevin, you know, the championship games. You know, not only just the regular season where the 12 they play, but getting into the postseason and winning your conference. I love the fact that they said, okay, Cincinnati, show me what you had. You had a good season last year, returning a lot of guys, Ritter at quarterback. If you run the table, we're going to give you respect, because they could have very easily did what the coaches both did. Stack them at 10 or maybe at 12, and then you say, okay, if they run the table, by the time the season ended, Kevin, they can only get to 6. Them starting at 8 is such a huge advantage for them because they have a legitimate chance. How many times do you see, like, the UFCs of the world or UCFs of the world and the Coastal Carolinas? You start at like 30th in the nation. I don't care how undefeated you go or if you win 16 games in a 12-game season that you can move all the way up the list. It's not going to happen, but they have a legitimate chance now to say, if we're unbeaten, why are we not in this college football playoff?
It is such a perfect point made. Like, Coastal Carolina is 22. The best opponent on their schedule is Buffalo. I mean, like, Coastal Carolina is probably going to go unbeaten. Maybe. I don't, like, but there's nothing they can do. They can win every single game by 40 points. They'll never crack the top four, even if they crack the top 10. Cincinnati has a legitimate chance. Now, they'll need some help, okay? Considering that Bama, Clemson, Oklahoma, and Ohio State all have win totals of 11 or better, they're going to need some help because it's even going to maybe be tricky for Cincinnati to jump one-loss conference champions from those four respective schools. But as you mentioned, Iowa State has games they're dogs in on that schedule. Same with A&M, and we know Georgia. Like, Cincinnati could be in front of Georgia after 1 week of college football. And the big thing about Cincinnati is the fact that they are going at Indiana and at Notre Dame. Those will be considerable results to put on their schedule, and they will have to be acknowledged. So I absolutely agree. I do not know if we're going to get it in totality here to make the playoff market. I feel like we will, because right now it is a one-team market. It is just a UCLA. I would like to think they're in the lab creating more numbers. I'll be very interested to see what a Cincinnati price would look like there. It's tough to get a gauge for what it would be near. I think it's certainly going to be probably better than 5-1, Donnie. Does that sound about right?
It does sound about right. And let me ask you a question on this as we head into the season. Let's just say, for purposes, Kevin, and, you know, trying to make a build an argument for Cincinnati, but we always know how this goes down the line as it gets there. And I'm an old school guy, and this is where I think it's going to happen. Georgia opens up against Clemson and beats them. Georgia runs the table and is unbeaten and loses in the SEC title game to Alabama in Atlanta, let's say 28-20. So they lose by a touchdown, right? Mm-hmm. There is no way if Cincinnati runs the table, they are jumping Georgia. And they shouldn't jump Georgia. But you're going to get these old, like, oh, let these guys in because you saw it last year too. Well, Coastal Carolina is going to be unbeaten. They should be playing for – no, they should not. Because if Cincinnati played the same schedule as Georgia, they're not running the table. Sometimes we get lost in we like to see underdogs or it's not fair that they did this. You literally have to make sure that Georgia has two losses. Clemson has two losses. Ohio State has two losses before you jump Cincinnati unbeaten into that college football playoff. But there's always going to be that clamoring for, it's not fair, they should be let in. That's another story for another day where we should have 12 teams, 24 teams, you know, 32 teams in the NCAA football tournament is what it will turn into. But my question to you, Kevin, if you see them run the table, should they jump a one-loss Clemson, a one-loss Ohio State, or a one-loss Georgia team if Cincinnati is unbeaten?
So one of those teams is very interesting. If Georgia beats Clemson and then proceeds to lose to Alabama, Georgia absolutely goes in front of Cincinnati. I don't care that you won at the Hoosiers. If Ohio State loses one game, it'll be interesting to see who it is against. If Clemson loses to Georgia and then runs the table, they will not really put a respectable win up until the ACC Conference Championship game. Their schedule is a joke. I know, Donnie, we have our back and forths about Notre Dame joining a conference, this, that, and the third. Notre Dame has four games against top 15 opponents in this country. They play a better ACC schedule than Clemson does. Now, I know Clemson has more talent than Cincinnati. I know Clemson has more talent than probably maybe anybody outside of Alabama in this country. They play a respect. Like, Donnie, look at this schedule. What is the second toughest game on the Clemson schedule? At NC State? At South Carolina, who's a win total of four? I don't know. If Clemson loses that game, it's just so difficult for me to respect it. But they're going to then run the table. They'll win 12 football games in a row, and they're going to find their way into the college football playoff.
No, then I think they will. Because also their schedule, talking about Clemson here, it sets up absolutely, you can't script it better to say, I have an easy schedule, but we make the toughest game that we are going to play in game one. Because if you remember so many years in college football where it's just number one versus number two, and that's who played for the championship, all schedules weren't made the same. You could go, let's just say an 11-game schedule. You can go 10-1, lose your first game, win 10 in a row. You'd play for the college football championship. You could open up 9-0, lose your 10th game, and you drop back down to 6 and don't play for the championship. So if we take a look at a game, now also, if Georgia wins 31-9 or something like that, that's a different story. But let's just say that you lose a normal football game. We use the same terms with Alabama and Georgia. 28-20, they lose. They rip off every single game on the schedule. What are they going to drop down to if they lose to Georgia? Let's just say 10th overall. Then they have 11 weeks here to slowly build and climb up there. It's going to be hard to keep Clemson out. Also, you still have the ace card. You're going to get to play a decent football team in the ACC championship game with Clemson's been known to whitewax people and beat them 41-3 and say, hey, that's the last thing we saw. You're keeping us out after we lost to Georgia by a touchdown, rolled every single person, and you're going to put Cincinnati in over us? It's going to be tough for Cincinnati. They're going to need some help to get in even with an undefeated record.
Without a doubt. And the one thing is, and you saw Clemson do it at Notre Dame last year, 34-10. Like, I try to explain to people with that whole game, but, like, Trevor Lawrence doesn't play defense. Like, Clemson was like, yeah, you're not scoring, man. Like, it doesn't – like, Ian Book couldn't do anything in that game because they knew what they needed to do. The one thing I will say then that kind of can put a nice little bow on this, and then we'll transition to some more Big Ten win totals. In my opinion, Clemson should be the favorite to win the national championship if they beat Georgia. There will be no bigger guarantee than that team going to the college football playoff. There are hardly any more landmines on that schedule. And actually, if they somehow miraculously did get tripped up, well, they'd be able to say, hey, look, we beat Georgia. We're going to win the ACC championship there. Just the amount to which they would be guaranteed, Donnie, to make it to the college football playoff if they beat Georgia, I think they should jump Bama for their status as the favorite to win the national championship.
You're right, because you have to get into the playoff in order to win the championship here, and I can't say it enough. I don't know what Dabo Sweeney pulled here to say, let's get Georgia week one and let's roll everybody after it. It is the absolute perfect schedule that has a backdoor escape clause here if you lose one game, and that's Clemson's schedule.
watch out at Pitt. You never know. Could be nonsense. They are going. I mean, that's an unbelievable schedule. Well, coming on back, though, Wisconsin, Iowa, they'd love a seat at the table. We'll talk about their win total.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid on a Tuesday morning. And before we get to the win totals, I want to let everybody know that you have to follow us over on Twitter at Sports Grid and as well as at Sports Grid TV. Don't just stop there at Sports Grid Radio. Make sure you're involved. Make sure you're keeping up to date with everything that we have going on here on the grid. Get at Sports Grid and at Sports Grid TV on Twitter. Let's talk some win totals here, Donnie. Big Ten putting the final touches on this conference. We've hit a lot of the top programs, and we'll really be able to finish it off today. Wisconsin has some big dreams. When we're talking about teams that have at least an avenue to make the college football playoff, I think you could say that Wisconsin certainly has that, but it all would require for them to go over 9.5 wins, take it or leave it, the Badgers, to get to 10 or better.
I'm going to take this one. And yesterday we were talking about the Big Ten, a lot of underreactions from me. Today, a little bit of a coin flip there, because obviously, Kevin, if you can't just go every team under in the Big Ten, because theoretically that doesn't make sense and can't happen. Teams are going to beat teams. Teams are going to cover their win totals. Teams are not going to cover their under win totals. But take a look at the Wisconsin Badgers here. It seems like to me a lot of the times, Kevin, you get these first games of the season that are going to dictate how well you're going to do for the rest of it. We just talked about, hey, Georgia, if they win, big boost to them. Clemson, if they win in their first game, big boost to them. But take a look at this game for the Wisconsin Badgers. Penn State at home. If they pick up this victory, I think they're well on their way here, Kevin, to 9.5 wins. You have 7 returning starters back on offense, including quarterback Graham Mertz. You also have 8 returning starters on defense. They're picked to have a good season. So let's take a look at the schedule where those wins would come from. Penn State, going to be a tough game. But again, Kevin, you got them at home. We're expected to have fans back in the stands. Jump around playing at the end of the third quarter there up in Madison. You go to Eastern, you have Eastern Michigan at home. That should be a win. Notre Dame, which you play, which is a good football team, but you're also going to get them on a neutral site. So you don't get them at home, okay? You don't get them on the road. See if you can split that up midway. But then you have Michigan at home, expected to be not the normal Michigan teams that we've seen over the past decade or since a decade ago, where they were a very good team. Like, oh, Michigan's on the schedule. No way we can win this one, or it'll be tough. And also keep in mind, Kevin, Michigan is at home. At Illinois on the road, not a very good football team. That should be a win. Army, Purdue, Iowa, a tough football game, Kevin. But where do you get them at home? So the key indicator so far on the schedule, Penn State at home, Michigan at home, and Iowa at home. Then you close the season at Rutgers, which is a decent football game, but I would think Wisconsin is better. Then you have Northwestern once again at home, Nebraska at home, and then Minnesota on the road. I see them getting 10 wins on this schedule if you're playing normal Wisconsin football. The big games to me, Notre Dame is not on the road. It's a neutral site. You also have, as I said again, Penn State, Michigan, and Iowa at home here. I think they can get the 10 wins this year. Looking for a good season out of Wisconsin, Kevin.
I think the big question, right, is Graham Mertz, Donnie, the debut 20 of 21 with 5 touchdowns and no interceptions against Illinois. We thought that Wisconsin team very well could have maybe lit college football, lit the Big Ten on fire, and then COVID absolutely obliterated any hopes of that. The real question was then, as Graham Mertz missed about a month of football and came back and, to be quite honest, was really not all that good. He didn't have, before the bowl game, a game where he completed better than 60% of his passes. He was only able to rack up 3 touchdowns compared to 5 interceptions. I mean, it was bad. It was really, really bad. His level of play probably meets somewhere in the middle of that unbelievable debut and the tough close to the season. With that being said, this really does come down to the schedule. Is their toughest road game at Minnesota in the final week of the season? I mean, you're hoping that you probably have this win total obviously locked up by then. Even if you give 2 of your Penn State, Notre Dame neutral site, and Iowa games, I mean, And again, that's they're favored in every single one of those games, by the way. They're laying 4.5 to Penn State. They'll be favored at home against Iowa. And the look-ahead lines against Notre Dame, they are favored in that one as well, despite Notre Dame having a higher AP top 25 rank. And some of that has to do with last season. You know, I like to say that the Irish are obviously ranked where they are, but Wisconsin is power rated as a better football team, as a better program. So if you're going to cash an under here, like, Donnie, 12-game schedule, they're favorites, I think, in all 12 games that they play. That's what we say when we talk about Alabama, Ohio State, and then we're talking about win totals of 11 here. So it's really, really easy to see why this Wisconsin to the over makes some sense, and it's easy to see why they are about a minus 125 favorite to win the Big Ten West. Let's keep things moving here, though, and let's bring up the team that is hoping to challenge them. The Hawkeyes had a very strong close last year. A win total, though, maybe not as representative of that. 7.5. It's when you're talking college football, like the gap between 9.5 and 7.5 just feels absolutely gigantic. Iowa, though, Donnie, over 7.5 wins. Take it or leave it.
I'm going to take this one as well. I'm going to go over the 7.5, and here's what we're going to know right off the bat once again here in college football. It's nice to see some of these schedules, Kevin, where it used to be, you know, good football teams would play four directional schools in September all at home, waste them, and then they have four wins before they even start the month of October. Not the case here with a lot of these conferences here. Take a look at the Iowa Hawkeyes. Right off the bat, they're going to get Indiana at home. If they win that game, I do believe that they're going to get their win total. Second game of the season at Iowa State. If they win that game, I do believe they're going to get this win total. Now, even if they get a split, Kevin, I need them to beat Indiana or Iowa State to get that 7.5. That is going to be a key indicator. And if you're looking at what we anticipate from the season, Indiana's a good team, but you got them at home in Iowa. You have a nice home field advantage there. If you take a look and go to Iowa State, that team is going to be fired up at home with big-time aspirations that we don't usually see from Iowa State. That is going to be a tough one to win. Then you get Kent State, should be a victory. Colorado State at home should be a victory. At Maryland on the road should be a victory. Penn State, another good football team, but where do you get them? In Iowa, which is a tough place to play. Purdue, you go to at Wisconsin, that'll be tough. And then you have that back-to-back game there with Northwestern as well. Minnesota at home, Illinois at home, end the season with Nebraska. I like the feelings that I'm getting here from the Iowa Hawkeyes, returning five starters on offense, but the key again, your quarterback is coming back. Seven on defense. This is a good football program. No reason to believe for me, Kevin, as long as they get a split out of Indiana and Iowa State, they're going to be able to hit their team total of 7.5.
So I would lean towards the over. I think ultimately it's just a leave it for me. I think you break down the schedule perfectly there. Where I struggle with the win total is the level of talent that they lost on the defensive side of the football. That's what makes this a little bit difficult to get there. But the one thing that I will note, and I've mentioned this a couple of times, and this is the product of doing shows on a regular basis with Donnie Wrightside, is you're always looking at team totals, team totals, team totals. This is a team that I've kind of put on a little short list of early season team totals that I want to target here. This was not your typical Iowa football team last year. They averaged 32 points per game. I mean, they were scoring left and right, and the key contributors to the offensive side of the football are coming back. Like, week one at Indiana, it's likely I'm on a team total. We don't know. I know, and Donnie might tell me, be careful week one. Fair enough, but look, there's a limited amount of time that you have to work with a college football season. We'll see what the number is, but that's going to be how I'll look to back Iowa while there is still potential value out there for this Hawkeyes team. They just continually put points up last season, especially after the first 2 weeks of the season where they were only able to get to 20 in both of those games. We'll keep it moving here, and we'll bring up the Hoosiers. Indiana, a football school, is what they're telling me. Another team with a win total of 7.5. They start, as we just mentioned, against Iowa. Donnie, take it or leave it. Over 7.5 for Indiana.
Let's stay on the over train and take this one. Now, not as confident in the previous two that we went over as I am with Indiana. I do think they're a good football team. You got Freifogel at wide receiver. He is a dominant player in the Big Ten. You also have Michael Penix. You have Hendershot at tight end. This is a really good football team overall. But what I need for them, Kevin, as we always start to take a look at these games, tough games in the beginning of the season. I need them to open up their schedule, Kevin. Worst case scenario of 2-1. At Iowa in the first game. That's going to be a tough one. I'm not too sure they can win that. I actually have Iowa winning that. Game two, Idaho at home. That should be a victory. But how about game three here? One of those step-up games for Cincinnati, which they are going to be loaded for bear, knowing this is basically their national championship game, and they need to perform. That's going to be an added advantage. But also keep in mind, Indiana has them at home. Is that a big home field advantage there for Indiana? No, it's certainly not. But it's nice to have them at home as opposed to being on the road at Western Kentucky, Penn State, Michigan State, Ohio State. But after that, you should be able to pick up some wins even though they're on the road. Maryland, decent football team on the road. Michigan, decent football team on the road. Rutgers at home, Minnesota, and Purdue. To me, of the first three teams we profiled, like Wisconsin, don't have really much of an issue with them. Like Iowa, don't have much of an issue with their team total. This one, I do think that Indiana can get over. But Kevin, the talent on the team does match up. Eight returning starters for Indiana. But that schedule is tough at some points in the season. They can't get out of the gate slow here. And maybe Michigan is a much better football team than we thought. And that one also turns into a loss, which you possibly could pick up a win in the Big House. I like the over 7.5, and I'm going to take it. But Kevin, I'm not in love with it.
This isn't just to leave it. It's a take it towards the under. This is why I always talk about just kind of projecting out when teams are supposed to be favored. I know you have to play the games. It's not the end-all be-all, right? But Wisconsin has a win total of 9.5. They're going to be favored in 12 of 12. This team is going to be dogs in four games. Dogs at Iowa. Dogs at Penn State. Dogs home versus Ohio State. Look at headlines. They are getting points at home against Cincinnati. Now, again, they might win one of those games. If they win two of them, this win total will go over. But as also Donnie mentioned, we'll see what Michigan is. I am not at the point, Donnie, where I'm going to comfortably just go, yep, 100%, they win at the Big House. That's not, I'm not there with Indiana football. We'll see if we get there with Indiana football, but I just can't be there yet. It's a difficult schedule for this team, and it's worth mentioning. I know that people like Penix Jr. He is yet to finish a season healthy. You can't ignore that. It is difficult to project health always, but you can certainly do yourself a favor if you are set to lock up money on a season-long win total by maybe avoiding a team whose quarterback would be finishing a season healthy for the first time in his collegiate career. We certainly have time to bring up at least one more here. We'll probably be able to get to both of them, even maybe into our next segment here. I love bringing up these low win totals. They've been very – we've talked your Deuce. We've talked your Kansases. The Illini, Donnie. Lovie Smith out. And you now have a win total of 3.5. Take it or leave it. Does Illinois get to 4 wins?
I'm going to stay on that over train right now, and I'm going to go over 3.5 in this one. Brett Bielema, I think, is an upgrade of a coach over Lovie Smith. I really do. If you take a look at the offensive depth chart here, 8 returning starters there, 7 on defense. But you're getting a lot of starters back from a bad football team, but I do think a regime change is going to help. And also, Kevin, we're not dealing with 5.5 that we see for Florida State. 6 is 7.5 you have to win. It's a 12-game schedule to get 4 games. Look at the first game. Again, Nebraska at home. You can beat them. Game number 2, at home, UTSA. You can beat them. Virginia on the road, not a great ball club. You can actually win that game. Maryland at home. Charlotte at home. There are wins on the schedule, but Kevin, you better get out of the gate hot here because you start to turn up the gas. Wisconsin, Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, Iowa, and Northwestern to end the season. I need them to beat Nebraska. I need them to beat, you know, Texas San Antonio. I need them to beat either Virginia or Maryland and then steal one more game, which, yes, Charlotte's a decent lower-level football team, but you need to win that. I actually think if they're going to get this, Kevin, they better have this wrapped up by, what, October, where that's going to be really tough to get that last win.
I can't get there with Illinois. I'll say this.
Come on, get there.
If you like this over, that means you like Brett Bielema as a coach. And that means that you think he's going to help really, really turn this program around because not a lot of games seems to be favored in. There isn't 3 of them that they'll be. There are 7-point home dogs in Nebraska to start the year. Nebraska ain't a better team in the Big Ten coming into the season. Certainly Charlotte and certainly UTSA, no doubt. But I'll tell you this. I'm not trying to walk into the final week of the season and hope that they can upset Northwestern. That's not for me. I'm not. Oh, man. We swapped. Yesterday, I liked some overs. He was unders. Today, this is just not my schedule. We'll come back. We got to go to Michigan State. The Spartans. The forgotten son of the Big Ten. We'll break it down next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
one more Big Ten win total. We'll have to run all this, of course, by Big Ten Ben and get the final stamp of approval on these. But we got to bring up Michigan State. You know, we talked a lot about how Michigan has lost their footing. The Spartans are not supposed to be a team, Donnie, win a win total of 5.5. But it is. Take it or leave it. Michigan State over 5.5 wins.
Finally going to leave one on the table here, Kevin, to go with an under 5.5. That's about what I see of their schedule. 5 wins there. Open up at Northwestern, be a tough game for Michigan State. You get Youngstown State at home. That should be a victory. But then you go on the road to play Miami. Nebraska at home should be a winnable game. Western Kentucky at home, winnable game. But then we start to go at Rutgers, at Indiana, Michigan, at Purdue, Maryland at home, and you end with Ohio and Penn State. So one of those where you have 5 wins, Kevin, after the Maryland game. You go to Ohio State and you play Penn State. Sure, Penn State is going to be at home, but maybe Penn State's playing for a much better, bigger picture here with the Big Ten Championship. Who knows the national championship? I'm going under here, 5.5. I'm going to leave Michigan State at the altar, Kevin.
Yeah, it's not great. It's not a great schedule. If you're Miami, you got to love the opportunity to blast this team. I feel like if you like the Spartans, Donnie and I have talked about this with a couple of teams. Where, hey, what can I do with a team week one, right? Instead of maybe tying up my money. I'm not saying they have to win at Northwestern, but you'd probably like them to keep it within those 3.5 points if you're going to be playing Michigan State to get to 6 wins this season. And again, too, to Donnie's point, you're going to need this wrapped up early. I mean, at Indiana, home versus Michigan, at Purdue, home versus Maryland, at Ohio State, home versus Penn State. I don't love that end of the schedule as well. I think that is a leave it, and I think that is the Big Ten. Certainly some other teams in that conference that you could get involved with. Minnesota, Nebraska, of course, are always interesting teams to take a look at there. Jersey books, no Rutgers lines, but I know folks are excited for what Schiano can bring to this program here and keep trying to improve them step by step, year by year. Excited for some Big Ten football this year, but coming up next, hour number 2, we're talking Green Bay Packers, we're talking Detroit Lions, Goff and Rodgers coming up next.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.